We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Oh, saw someone sneaking a little sip of something there.
Here we go, boys.
Oh,
are we back?
A little,
you know what
happened? The monster.
He said, I'm done. I don't need those anymore. What number?
That lasted a long time.
What number is that for the day?
This one?
Yep.
This is number one. Promise.
I got
a baseball game tonight.
At least number two.
I got a baseball game tonight. I plan on having two more later. It's going to be epic. First game of the year.
I can see Booney just stone cold Steve Austin-ing two monster cans.
Just going
all over
crazy.
His head.
Dude, West Tonka. It's going down tonight. I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
It's got to fucking epic. Oh,
we
my
made
God.
It, boys. It's draft week.
It is draft week.
It's that week.
Yes. So, a couple things here.
Do you have the pick is in soundbar? You got to have
dumb question.
I knew. Yeah, the pig is in, baby.
Don't make me light up the purple daily button bar here. I'll give you one little taste, because you mentioned wanting to do. We're gonna do for our big boy question of the show here. It started off as, where are all the quarterbacks gonna land? And then Jeremiah's like, can we just do like a full mock draft?
I
do the
full thing. Mock.
Can we just do a full.
Yeah, but only with offensive players. I don't give a shit about defensive players.
No,
one that's going to go in the third. Other than
32 teams, 32 offensive players in the first round.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. But a milestone moment here on the show here today. We have a brand new sponsor. Mm. Welcome Aura to the podcast, gentlemen. The O-line committee is all about protection and security, not just of quarterbacks, but protecting our listeners against data brokers who sell your information, scammers and spammers on the internet. You ever put your name into a Google search? Don't put Alex's name into it.
Don't do that.
If you're looking for a good time, just search the images.
Don't.
It's kind of
unsettling. Girls.
This is where Aura comes in, okay? The sponsor of today's podcast. Aura shows you which data brokers are selling your information and automatically opts you out of requests. As you saw on your screen here on the YouTube channel, AT&T recently revealed that over 73 million customer records, both existing and former customers, were released on the dark web recently. They recommend all of those affected use strong passwords, monitor account activity. Well, Aura does all of this for you and even has parental controls. And as you can see, we're offering a free trial here. Aura.com/O-Line Committee. Aura.com/O-Line Committee for your free 2-week trial. You can help us out also by signing up for the free trial. So if you're ever wondering, how can I help the O-Line Committee grow as a show? You can go to aura.com/O-Line Committee and start your free 2-week trial. Extremely easy to set up and very affordable even after your free 2-week trial. So it's also linked in the description below on the YouTube channel. So help us out and help yourselves and your families by going to aura.com/O-Line Committee.
Dude, I've listened to thousands of podcasts and always heard the reads and always been like, I wonder what it'd be like to be a part of one of those. Now I have been. Milestone moment.
Milestone
moment. Huh. You know, put it in the trophy case behind me.
We'll get you more involved as we
go.
Yeah,
we will.
Here.
We'll ask you more questions.
I
feel like you didn't know what to do. You were just kind of like, yeah. All right, cool.
You didn't say anything either.
Oh, I'm looking up a couple things, and I've been a part of reads before where you just sit back and you're like, okay, just let this go. The problem is sometimes like you'll sit back and not pay attention, and they'll ask you a question, and then they'll be like, never mind, and you're like, I didn't know that was a real question for me. Should have told me, stupid.
You ever put your name into a Google search? Alex, shut up. I'm doing the reading.
Don't do that.
Just mute seriously. Alex while you read.
You should.
So, okay, here's the big boy question of the week. This is a question for you guys here. It's not a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are 2 days before the draft here. Where do you think each of the top 6 quarterbacks is going to wind up? There's all these smoke screens, all these rumors.
So, by the
Let's
way,
go
who's
on the
six?
Record here.
So we got Caleb, Drake, Jaden, JJ. Bo
and
Penix. Okay.
Unless you want to get weird and put Spencer Rattler above one of those guys.
No. Come on.
You've been diving too deep into the
seriously, dude. How much have you been reading from PFF?
Austin Reed from Western Kentucky.
He's not bad. He's got a cannon.
If you look at his numbers against pressure, actually.
I swear if I hear someone tell me Joe Milton, I'm going to throw myself off a bridge.
Stop it. Okay. So obviously number one. We know who's going number
one. We can all agree Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams is going number one.
Okay.
Two,
real quick,
for me.
Just on Caleb for a second. I agree. He's going number one.
We all know.
Did you guys find it interesting that, so he came in for his Bears visit, and ordinarily you'd just go and meet at a steakhouse with the suits, right? Ryan Poles and the coaching staff. Well, they sent Caleb Williams out with some of the team leaders. Is that because, hey, we're drafting him, you guys better figure out how to work together? Or is it put one more sniff test out before we officially make our
decision? No, I think that's, they're solid.
This is the
they're
dude.
Official.
Right, yeah. This is the dude. Exchange numbers, start texting, we'll leak him the playbook. Right? Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
It's that was start to build a rapport right now because, like it or not, boys, he's QB1 going into next year. Right? And I think that the debate's over. There was like, are they traded? Like as soon as that first the pick is in, it shouldn't take longer than 30 seconds for them to announce that Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear.
Right? Dude, he might even take the cue card out with him.
Yeah.
And like literally, like welcome everyone. Yeah.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock. Flips cue card. And with the first pick in the NFL draft. Can we also talk about there's no reason to have 10 minutes for a pick?
Well, like, that's absolutely insane.
Theater, time filling. Dude, right.
I was looking at something like, so the Bills have the 28th pick, right, in the first round. And I was looking at something that said, like, historically in the last 3 years, the 28th pick has been at like 11:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it goes so long. Ever. It's the first round takes way too long. Just everyone.
Well,
Remember when it was 15 minutes? That was when I was coming out, and I was like, God, this is taking four. And then they were like, let's speed it up. Let's go to 10. And they were like, oh, it's going to be great. No. Still, everybody's like, let's push it all the way to the end. And you just see the clock drifting all the way down. You're like, Jesus, who didn't realize who they're getting? My God.
Yeah, and part of it's like we need 10 minutes to talk about each franchise. Do we need 10 minutes to talk about the Jaguars? All due respect. Like, do we need Browns at this point? I don't think we need 10
easy
minutes.
With the Browns shit, okay? Easy, Mackie.
Ohio guy. I'm from Ohio.
Sensitive.
Sensitive. Insecure Midwestern time.
Insecure Midwestern. Well, got
we just fly. We're just flying over a country. Just nobody cares about us.
So
okay.
I think
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Number two.
I'm gonna go with Drake May, number two.
Ooh, yep. This is
where
we differ.
I'm going Drake May, number two, to the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
I think it's Jaden Daniels. I think it's
so the betting sites have all said, the markets have said Jaden Daniels is still the favorite. It's sort of changed. I told our Purple Daily guys this morning, I changed my opinion about this morning or like this weekend. Because here's what this is, and tell me if I'm off on this, but the Commanders got torched last week for doing the bring everyone in. We're going to bring everyone in. We're going to bring four quarterbacks in. We're going to go to Topgolf, and we're going to do the alpha test, basically. Put a bunch of guys in a room, and we're going to see if anyone gets weird or gets in their feelings or insecure. And then the next day, Jaden Daniels' agent gets all Twitter fingery, and he starts liking the posts from like Pro Football Talk and some other places that are saying, what are the Commanders thinking? The Commanders are out of their minds. Why would they do this, right? And he's putting out emojis and stuff. And so it felt like Jaden Daniels and his agent had a problem with, well, why are we not just the number two pick? Why do we have to interact? Why do I have to interact with Michael Penix? This is dumb. I saw Drake May on a podcast with Kevin Clark yesterday. And Kevin Clark asked him, hey, what did you think about the group outing? You were invited. You guys went to Topgolf. And Drake May said with a big smile, oh, I loved it. It was amazing. I got to meet some of these other great quarterbacks and got to connect with some of these other great players. And it was so much better than going to a steakhouse and sitting down with the general manager. I love being around all the guys. It felt like that draft day moment where you find out why the quarterback, like no one came to his birthday party for me. Like, why is Jaden Daniels getting all upset about this? So
I mean, yeah. And to
I'm
be
with
fair,
you.
To be fair, a lot of teams do that. Like a lot of teams pick a weekend and say, this is our 30 visit weekend, right? Because it's a lot easier than logistically trying to be like, well, we need to bring in this guy this time and this time, this like I know, for example, the Bengals do their 30 visit on the last day that you can do 30 visits, because then they don't have to deal with flying them somewhere else, right? Because, I mean, for example, my defensive tackle this year, he had 15 30 visits, right? And he had six more teams that wanted to bring him in, but we just ran out of time. And so, like, it was a constant evolving schedule, right? Like, you'd schedule, okay, hey, you're going to Buffalo this weekend, and then you'd have, like, the back end of that week open, and then all of a sudden, he'd be like, okay, where's he flying to after the visit? He'd be like, well, I don't know yet, hold on, right? And then you'd call him, like, 4 days later and be like, oh, hey, by the way, now he's flying to Baltimore, and then from Baltimore, he's going to Miami. And so, like, a lot of teams just be like, I don't want to deal with that 100 different times. I'm just going to pick one weekend, and all our 30 visits are coming in on this one weekend. Mm-hmm. And all the staff will be here. All the coaches will be here. Like, it just logistically makes sense. Right. Now, I mean, I think that there's a little bit of the alpha test to it, but I do think it was more just, this is logistically how we want to do things, and this is just how we're going to do it. But it is a bit of a red flag that Daniels got all bent out of shape about it. It's like, dude, you're going to compete no matter where you go. Like, don't look at it as a slight. Look at it as like, yeah, this is just how the NFL is run differently from 32 different organizations.
Yeah. So but Booney, you think it's still maybe Commander? I mean, Booney's on the right side of what the
I think
what
that,
the odds are right now.
I think that eventually they don't really give a shit about any of that, and they're just going to go, hey, listen, we really like this kid. He's a playmaker. He can do – he's incredibly talented. Like, I just think that a lot of things right now with Drake May are kind of like, listen, he's a good player, great player, but does he have all the skills that we need? And I think that when you're looking at this, you're like, dude, he's the next best player. And I've watched him play, and the dude's phenomenal. And, yeah, whatever. Oh, for sure. We all take Twitter shit out of control, and we all take what agents say. Like, who cares what an agent says? I'm kidding. But, yeah, no, I think Jaden.
Instigator.
Oh, look at you, sensitive. Hit him. Hit him.
Is it sensitive, Mackie, to hit?
Yeah,
to
of
hit
course it is.
With a,
you can't,
oh,
just,
there it
you can't
is.
Just find me for something. Especially when you get red. Here we go.
I want to see Jay get some Twitter fingers.
No, I can't stand. I mean, there was an agent last year for the Vikings, or 2 years ago. There was like, I'm going to spill everything. Tuesday morning, I'm tired of this. I'm spilling it all. And then, like, come Tuesday night, or like everyone was waiting, he was like, spoke with my player for the best that I don't say anything. It's like, well, no shit. Don't say anything in the first place. No one cares what you have to say.
Is that?
Anyways.
I think I might know who that
is. Yeah, you know who it is. I'm not going to say it.
Okay, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
I immediately texted that person. I was like, oh, can I know what is that?
Did you really?
Did
you really?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, so you know who it is, too? Okay. Yeah, so we all know.
If
all right, so we all know.
In the Minnesota market knows who it is. But that being said, the only thing that I would maybe go back with Booney on this for, Mac, is when you look at that division and you look, okay, Cowboys, Eagles, like Giants, all of those guys have great pass rushers. And so when you look at Drake May's escapability versus Jaden Daniels and going, hey, we play in a division that's got dudes that are going to get home.
Dudes.
Right? Like dudes, right? Micah Parsons and everyone down the list. Dexter Lawrence.
Brian Burns just came in, right?
Right. It's like,
I mean, dude,
Kayvon
Timmons,
like, maybe we need a quarterback, and this could be a decision. Like, maybe we need a quarterback that can create and move with his legs. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily Drake May's strong suit. He's athletic enough to scramble, but he's not athletic enough to be a threat in the true running game. And I think
also,
that could be the difference maker there between Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
Not that like college stats are the be all end all, but last year in college, Jaden Daniels was the number one passer in all of college football. Yards per attempt when pressured. He was second PFF grade when pressured. Bo Nix was number one. A lot of tricked up, shorter things there.
Yeah.
LSU too a little bit. But in college, Jaden Daniels has been amazing against pressure with his legs and with his arm. So
I mean, and the thing I also give the nod to Drake May for is he wasn't throwing to neighbors. Like, he didn't have a number one wide receiver on his team that's going to be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Drake had to create and scheme guys open. I mean, and that's not a knock to Jaden. It's not his fault that he played with great players. Right? Just like it wasn't Joey Burrow's fault that he played with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Right? It's not those guys' fault. But when you look at what Drake May did with what he had, that's why I just feel like as far as the NFL style rolls with, I just think that he's a little bit more polished and ready than Jaden Daniels if I was picking number two.
Okay.
Agreed.
So the show is split on, and that's fine. We can all kind of pick our own path.
Here we go. It's going to get crazy.
Okay. Who's the third quarterback? So for Jay and I, it would be, we've already got Caleb Williams and Drake May off the board here.
Yep.
Booney, who would your third quarterback be then? Drake May? To who?
Yeah,
to
mine would have to be three. I don't think that's going to be the Patriots.
I think they stay.
I think they stay. I know there's a lot of talk of them trading off and going back. I think that they're in the perfect time right now. And they go in and they got to be like, listen, we got to find new leadership. You got a new head coach. It's a whole changing of the guard. You got to do something. You have to make a stab at one of the top players right now. And after that, who are you going to trade out with? Like, assuming that the Vikings or the Broncos try to trade up, are you really going to go all the way back to 11 and 12?
It depends what you're getting in the future years. That's the question. With
or
the
can
Patriots.
You get back up? Can you get back up? After
I mean, you're going to go back just to come back up? Like you're at three.
The Cardinals did that last year, right? There's that video of Austin Ford just working. He's got six phones just working.
That's how they
it's
work.
It's complicated,
man.
But you can make it happen that way.
I don't. There's that. There it is. It's going crazy again.
I've put a counterweight on it now.
I got Drake May going to the Patriots.
You got Drake May. See, I think the Patriots move out of that spot.
Who do they trade
with? I think Elliott Wolf is looking at his team going, we're not a quarterback away. Right, we're not a quarterback away, and he watched what happened to Bailey Zappe and watched what happened to Mac Jones with a rookie quarterback with a poor roster around them. And you're immediately setting the kid up for failure. Right? You're not giving him the tools that he's going to need to have success in the NFL as a young quarterback. Right? You talk about like Caleb Williams going to the Bears, right? He's got Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, right? Like he's got dudes he can throw the football to. Name me the number one receiver for the New England Patriots. Like, I don't think I can. Like, I physically, yeah, off the top of my head, can't think like, oh, that's the guy. Like, they have Hunter Henry, who's an old tight end, but he's not a guy you're going to throw the ball to 300 times this year. So I think they know, regardless if they pick a quarterback or not in this year's draft, they're still going to be at the top of the draft order next year. Like, and so for me, I'm looking at either I'm trading out of this pick and taking a king's ransom for it, or I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Or I might just take the best player available that is not a quarterback.
Who's their quarterback right now?
Jacoby Brissett.
Right?
So you're saying you think they go
with Jacoby, survive the year with Jacoby, get him a weapon, develop that weapon, and then if you got the guy next year, go get the next year. But I think that it's more likely if they're not going to take quarterback, they get a king's ransom and just gather more picks. Right? You take, if the Vikings, for example, the Vikings go and they take 3, or they take 11, they take 28, they maybe swap with Atlanta because Atlanta might now have to give up their pick one last final from Kirk Cousins.
That would be wild if that happened.
Yeah. Dude, but that would be...
So I don't think New England takes it. I think they trade it. If they trade it,
I agree,
it's probably going to either...
It's got to go to the Vikings.
It's got to go out of the Vikings or the Broncos. I mean, those are probably the two guys that trade to it, and then they obviously take whoever's Jaden Daniels.
Okay, so say it goes to the Vikings.
Is Daniels. Well, no, pick a path, Jay.
You pick a path.
Booney's got him sticking.
I told you that they're going quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're going to trade the pick. They're going to trade the pick to the Vikings, and the Vikings are going to take Jaden Daniels.
Okay. So I think we're in lockstep, kind of, except here's what I think happens. I think the Patriots trade out. I think it's with the Giants.
Mm.
I think the Giants move up 3 spots. They take Jaden Daniels at 3. I think the Vikings draft board is Drake May, number 1. Take Caleb out. I think the Vikings draft board is Drake May, number 1. But if the Commanders take Drake May, like, you're just kind of stuck. You're screwed. I think they have J.J. McCarthy above Jaden Daniels.
For sure.
And so they would then, okay, cool, as Jeremiah's skin crawls off his body hearing this. So I think it's Giants to 3 to get Jaden Daniels. And I think the Patriots could trade back again from 6. Another team could jump up, get a receiver. Now Patriots move back to, like, maybe they swap with the Jets or something.
Okay, so wait. Now you have the Giants trading from 6 to 3 to take Jaden.
Yep.
Searles has the Vikings trading up to take Jaden. And I have them taking Drake May.
Yeah, you have the Patriots sticking, right?
Okay. I'm just
now,
making
and
sure.
Now all our top 3 quarterbacks are off the board.
Are off the board, correct. Yep. So now next quarterback the Cardinals off the board.
The Cardinals are on the clock at 4, but is that going to be where the next quarterback?
I think they take Marvin, for sure. I think that's a lock.
Yeah, so now I think the Vikings trade up to 5 with the Chargers.
I agree with
take
that.
J.J. McCarthy and don't that, give up. Maybe they get to keep their 2025 first round pick in this scenario.
I don't think
if you're going from 11 to 5, you're giving up next year's first.
You have two this year. Don't forget. And you're giving them right away. Like, listen, you can have both these right now. And that's where I see that going. Same.
I think if what happens with the rumors, if the Vikings move up to 8, I could see that them keeping next year's first. I don't think if you go from 11 to 5, you keep next year's first.
But could you get back? Like, could it be a swap? So you're getting their third, or I haven't looked at what their capital is, but you know,
maybe I don't know.
But I think that's more likely.
So then, who does Searles see the Chargers taking?
Or where's the third quarterback?
I think the Chargers end up taking Roma Dunze or Mikal Neighbors, another receiver for Herbert,
which makes sense. Yeah. Justin, they need it. Yeah. They obviously got rid of it.
They got rid of Keenan Allen, right? The guy they picked last year in the first can only play on the left side of the ball.
Right.
Like, they need another dude to throw the football there. And so I think they take one of the receivers.
Okay. So all right, where's McCarthy landing?
So now here's where we go.
So now we're split, right? So you switch with the Giants, right? So now you're saying that New England's sitting at 6, right, Mac?
Yeah, but I've
so not, who do you got?
I've got New England at six, but I already have Vikings jumping to five to take McCarthy.
Right.
So then if I were to continue on my board here, I would have the Patriots trading back again from six to like
12.
You know, let's
Broncos.
Teams that could jump
That's
up.
What I was gonna
Broncos. Say.
Well, I don't know that a team is trading up to six to grab the fifth quarterback. I could see like the Jets going up from 10 to six to get the third receiver to make sure they get Rome Odunze in this situation.
But technically, or, there's only one off the board. Well, yeah, you're right. There is two because Marv went off.
Yep.
I guess in my scenario,
but in
there'd
yours,
be, there'd
there's
be,
only
there'd
one.
Be, there'd be two left. But I'm saying I could see a team moving up to get a receiver or to get Joe Alt to get a tackle if you want to jump up.
He's going seven. He's going at seven.
To that's why teams. I'd be jumping to six.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. Well, who would jump up?
Jets.
Who needs a tackle?
Jets would jump up.
Jets.
So I'll just to make this less confusing as we go, I'll
finish
out my quarterbacks.
Yeah, we're all over the map.
I know.
So I've got Caleb, Bears, May Commanders, Daniels to the Giants who jumped up.
Yep.
I've got JJ to the Vikings who jumped up.
Yep.
And then that's where it gets kind of weird. I'm going to say Patriots in their trade back take Michael Penix in the like early teens after trading back a couple times. So Patriots take Penix and get a bunch of extra draft capital. Just making notes here. And then Broncos wind up with Bo Nix, and we might have six quarterbacks off the board in the first 12 picks. Broncos trading back a little bit too and maybe still getting Nix.
I see the Broncos. I agree with you on the Broncos, the Bo Nix.
Yes. Yes. So that's,
question
that's
is,
my
the
quarterback
Raiders,
journey.
Do the Raiders take
I was going to say, if it, for me, I think the Raiders trade up if they can.
I think they could be another Penix, player. Yeah.
To take Penix.
Sure, sure.
Right. I mean, they have, I think Aiden O'Connell was like their guy last year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is a plant the flag for Tom Telesco and those dudes to say, we're going to go get our guy, right?
Like, I got Antonio Pierce.
Right. I got Philip Rivers in San Diego, and then I went and got Herbert. Like, I know who my guy is, and if they're in love with Penix or they're in love with someone that's out of those, I think the Raiders are the ones that would jump up and take Michael Penix. And then with you. I think that Bo Nix then falls to the Broncos at 12, or I could even see
dude, the
if
the
he
Rams.
Keeps falling, if he keeps falling, I could see Bo Nix going to Indy too.
Yeah,
I could
oh,
see
really?
The Rams jumping.
Well, because think about, they have Gardner Minshew, right?
Well, no, Anthony Richardson.
No,
Anthony Richardson.
I keep forgetting that he got hurt so early last year.
No, that's why I think the next team that's in contention is technically kind of maybe the Rams, dude. They're gonna need a backup soon.
Yeah, I mean,
they're gonna
need someone to
take over. That's a fascinating one, dude.
Yeah,
and I've heard a lot of talk.
I've
heard a lot of talk about that maybe jumping up to come and get one of these quarterbacks, which would make total sense.
They don't have capital to do it, though.
I mean, I've heard crazier shit come out of the NFL. Are you kidding me?
But, dude, you got to remember, they just got themselves out of cap hell. Like, they kind of feel like they're still in their Super Bowl window. I don't think they're going to want to trade away picks.
The Rams have more capital than you would think because they have a two third-round picks with the one comp pick. So they have a first, a second, and then two third-round picks in this year's draft. So they could get weird. You could also, like, one of these quarterbacks could fall into the second round, too.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or two of them.
I mean, a Will Levis situation.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Jay, where's McCarthy going then? You filled in all the holes except for your favorite guy, J.J. McCarthy.
Here
it's
we
funny
go.
How you conveniently skipped
here
the Penix
go.
And Bo Nix.
Oh, does he fall to the second round? Do you think
so
he's
Jay's
falling
got,
to the second
Jay's
round?
Jay's got Caleb to the Bears, May to the Commanders. He's got Daniels to the Vikings.
To the Vikings.
Penix to the Raiders. Bo Nix to either
the Broncos.
Broncos or maybe
so where
maybe
does
Rams.
J.J. fall?
Give me
Giants.
Give me JJ to the Giants.
Give me JJ to the Giants for 400, Bob.
I'll take JJ to the Giants. I mean,
he's so upset he has to say.
I don't know. I'm not gonna pivot. I've planted my flag on this. I'm not a JJ believer. I'm not gonna be bullied into it. But I also know that. The Giants, I'm not sold they're taking a quarterback, but if they do, it'd be JJ.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, I kind of am sold that they are.
Because I think Dable sees some comparisons to JJ to Josh Allen. The guy that can run, the big arm. Like, I think Dable sees some of that if you're looking at, hey, I want a quarterback. Right? Like, because Dable likes that Josh could run, and he likes putting in those quarterback powers and those quarterback sweeps and those type of things. And JJ can do those things well enough. Right. And then also you have Daniel Jones on one more year, where JJ doesn't have to come in and be the guy. But I think a lot of this also depends on something that none of us know, which is how far in Daniel Jones' rehab is he? Yeah. Is he on track to be opening day one rolling, or is he not ready and Dable's a little bit on the hot seat of keeping his job? Like, do I need to risk it to go get a guy that I can feel can play over Daniels if he's not healthy?
I can confirm he's definitely not ready.
Well,
regardless of injury.
He did beat the Vikings in the playoff. He has as many playoff wins as Kirk Cousins.
I'm aware, bro.
As
many, I understand. Listen, we put the Kirk Crusaders to bed. We are not bringing them back out.
They're sitting up like the Undertaker. God,
you should have seen them. What did you say about the Vikings? Easy Falcons fans.
So then for Alex, to put a bow on this, you got Caleb Bears. You've got Jaden Daniels to the Commanders.
Drake May to the Patriots.
You say McCarthy to the Vikings.
I see Bo going to the Broncos. Yep. And then I see the Raiders taking Penix, man. I see them jumping up in a big way. I think that they're here to make a splash. Antonio Pierce. I think they may not even have to jump up. That's what I'm saying. Like, if anything, they can just chill right where they are.
They may be able to sit at 13 and get him.
Yeah.
But they need a quarterback. That's for sure. And I'm not saying anything bad about Aiden O'Connell, but at some point, you're going to put something crazy out there.
So there we go. I think we just solved it very, very coherently there, too. Very clearly what's going to happen.
I somehow kept track of this entire thing. I'm not even kidding you. It's actually pretty easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Dude, I wish I could show you guys what my computer looks like right now. It is completely framed with sticky notes from all the calls and notes that I've had. My brain is just a spider web of crap right now.
I'm so upset. I hope you get a phone call. I do.
I might.
Out of nowhere.
I might. You just never know when they call back. Never know.
All right, boys. Who is your mic for the week? Give me a mic, Jeremiah.
I got one.
My mic is, I believe that there's going to be 8+ O-linemen that go in the first round this year. I think it's such a good tackle draft. There's so many good offensive linemen and such a need for that position across the league. I think that there's 8 O-linemen that go in the first round.
8 tackles? Or is there a guard or center in there?
I think Troy Fontenot, a guy from Washington, could sneak in there, who's more of a guard, played left tackle for Washington. I think he could sneak in there as one of the top interior guys to come off. right?
Is that, that Oregon Jackson Powers
Jackson
Johnson
Powers
Johnson's could be in
another there. One that could sneak in late. Centers historically don't go in the first. You know, Tyler Lindenbaum was kind of the outlier 2 years ago. But
Garrett Bradbury. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but historically, and especially with if I'm a team and I'm picking late and I'm going, okay, I have the option between Jackson Powers Johnson, who's the number one center on the board, or I can take a tackle who's a first round talent. You're taking the tackle 10 out of 10 times because there's not enough tackles in the league. You can bump dudes in, right? You can always be like, okay, that didn't work. Let's move you inside. You can't bump dudes out. And there's enough talent in this draft between Joe Alt, Olufoshanu, J.C. Latham,
Talese
Fuaga, Mims from Georgia,
Graham Barton.
Like, there's so many good offensive linemen in this top part of this draft. I think it'll be a historic day one for offensive linemen.
And I agree with you. I think Troy Fotnoe for sure sneaks in. I actually see him going to Dallas. I think that they could
be
big players. Absolutely. Like, dude, when you talk about this year's – the quarterback class is getting a lot of love, but the one thing that's kind of slipping through is the offensive line class. That dude, you got some dudes that are some grinders. They move well. Like, watching their film again and starting to dive into next year's film, you're like, where is the Olufoshanu? Where's the Troy Fotnoe? Like, I'm trying to find all these dudes, and you're like, nah, that ain't it. Like, these dudes are special, man.
It's
they are really, really fucking special.
Also,
and when you talk about them, like, being like, this could be a really fun draft, especially for us watching, because it could be a lot of quarterbacks and then O linemen taken right after. Like, it's going to be fucking awesome.
Most mocks have like one defensive player in the first 12 picks.
Yeah,
I think you could have 18 to 20 offensive players picked in the first.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just it's super, and a lot of them being O linemen.
Here's another question off this crazy offensive lineman batch. How tall are you guys?
6'6" and a half.
Boonie's 6'8". Okay, yeah. You're 6'6".
Six, eight,
these
and a half.
Dudes are like 6'8", 321, 6 foot. There's like four dudes.
Dude, the kid from Georgia.
6'8", 340. Mims.
Mims.
That dude is
ridiculous.
Avatar.
Like, dude, not even kidding.
Built in a test tube.
Guyton
he walked
not
six, eight.
Kidding you.
Yeah, he walked by me down at the Shrine Bowl. He came over because they trained right across. And like very few people stopped me in my tracks. And he's like, walk by me and you just look at him. I mean, arms swing in and you're just like, yeah, dude, you God sculpted you to say you play left tackle.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I built you for this. And I mean, the crazy thing with him though is he only has like 12 career starts in all of college.
Yeah.
Eight of which he finished the entire game, either because of injury or because they were just beating the dog shit out of whoever they were playing.
Yikes.
But you can't let a talent like that slip because you never know when you're going to find those dudes again. So I think he sneaks in the first. Graham Barton sneaks into the first. Like, I do think it'll be 8+ offensive linemen. That's my mic. 8+.
I agree
Thursday
with
night,
that.
You'll hear him.
I'm excited, dude. Thursday's going to be so fun.
This whole weekend's going to be a blast.
It's going to be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So okay, Booney, give us a mic.
All right, my mic. This one, actually, Jay, you might appreciate this. Have you seen the Broncos new jerseys?
Oh.
Have you seen the throwbacks?
The orange,
dude.
Maybe. Bring me back.
Love. Now listen, I'm going to say that and I'm going to say this. Those other three jerseys are dog shit. They are fucking terrible. They are so bad that I was like, dude, is this a high school? Is this a high school jersey I'm looking at? Like, there's like literally it's all blue and then like a little patch of orange. And I was like, what are we trying to do here? But the throwbacks, dude, they should make that their everyday. Those things are dope. And they got the D on the side with the Bronco coming through. I'm so excited, dude. I'm so excited to see
those. Those brought me back to the Elway days immediately.
You had to be excited, dude.
Yeah, because you grew up a huge Broncos fan,
I did.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
dude, how weird is that? I grew up a huge Cleveland fan. We probably would have hated each other growing up.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
I'd have been talking so much shit about Elway and TD.
I used to. So my wife's from L.A., right? She's from that area. And so she was a massive Chargers fan. And
ooh.
I used to dog the Chargers, right? Oh, crybaby Rivers and like all that stuff. And of course, that's where I go, right?
Yeah.
And like immediately my dad, I was like, we're Chargers fans now, dad. And like, it took me all of 2 seconds to fall in love with Philip Rivers. But like, I get like Facebook blasts from like this day 14 years ago. And it was me like, fuck you, Rivers. Like, just like going after it, right? And then, like, I went back through. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I grew up a massive Broncos fan. Like, I hated Brett Favre because he called John Elway pigeon-toed. Like, I remember all that stuff. Like, Dad took me to all the Super Bowl parades on his shoulders, like the whole bit. Yeah, I was diehard Broncos fan.
Did you tell Philip Rivers this? I'm assuming.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no, come on, dude.
Dude, I was a rookie? As an undrafted free agent rookie? Hey, what do you do? Walk
I used
up
to hate you.
I used to hate you.
God, I hated you so much. Not anymore. But back then,
well, I also used to think he used to cuss at everyone. Right? I used to think that he was out there dog cussing everyone. The dude never cusses.
No, ever.
Like him and Kirk Cousins, man. Just a lot of gall, darn it, dang it.
But he's
the original.
Phil would fire dudes up. And it wasn't like a, hey, F you. Like, he'd say stuff like, man, y'all put that blitz on tape? Y'all thought that was going to work? That was terrible. Like, I saw that coming from a mile away. That was atrocious. Dadgum, that's bad. Right? Or he'd be, like, talking crap to the DNs. Like, that would hit him late. Be like, don't be touching me like that. And, like, we'd be like, Phil, shh. Like, it's just riling these dudes up, man. Like, I think, like, the one came out, where was it? Against Ngakoue.
Was it right? Philly?
Was like, oh, no, yeah. 5 yards. Touchdown, right? And he's just like walking next to him, just screaming it all the way through. Dude, Phil was the man. I loved Phil when I got with him, but I hated him growing up. Hated him.
That's amazing, dude.
What, yeah, dude, shout out to the retros, man.
Throwing motion.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, your other home jerseys and away are crap, though. You got to get rid of those. It's dog. It's
I feel like I'm trying to think of other teams. I mean, well, give me the Oiler uniforms or anything Titans related. Give me the old Broncos.
Hey, Creamsicle. Are you a Creamsicle fan?
I am a Creamsicle fan.
I am, yes. Too. Yeah. I am for sure. I fuck with the Creamsicle.
Do you?
I'm trying to think of what else.
I hate the Green Bay Honeybee jerseys.
Oh, it's terrible. That and the Steelers. Stripes, the Steelers Honeybee. Oh, the worst.
They're hey, so bad.
But they're throwing it back to like the 1930s with those.
No. So listen. Bad. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but how about Dallas when they wear those, the blue and the white? They barely ever do it. Dude, that's
I like. I like the all whites for Dallas too. The crispy all whites with just the giant star. Those are crispy.
Cool,
too.
Man. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Nothing like going out like, I look good today. It's the worst when you used to wear the whites and knew you looked fat in it. I used to hate that. God,
solid colors. Solid colored for fat kids are not the move.
Dude, this is why the Ravens always had good offensive lines and defensive lines. They all feel very. They got the black on.
Dude, the black makes you look sleek, dude. Oh yeah, the white makes you look bad. Just bad.
And I'll plant my flag on this. The best jersey in the entire NFL is the LA Chargers powder blues.
Oh, I was just going to tell you. I agree with you 100%.
The best jersey is the powder blue Charger jersey.
Like, by far.
Such a cool color. And I have my one. I'll never give that one away. That one's never getting given away.
Because they went to like a navy color for 15 years, right? They went to the Super Bowl and got smoked by the Niners. They had the... Yeah, kind of the dark navy. The navy, dude, when Rivers was drafted.
Blues. The powder blues are too clean.
Dude, too I agree clean. With that.
Okay, my mic. So we saw yesterday Zach Wilson was traded to the Broncos, to Jeremiah's childhood favorite team. Maybe he's going to wind up being your quarterback of the future under Sean Payton, huh?
I don't think so.
Dude, Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, Ben DiNucci, baby. Super Bowl, here we come.
Here we go.
Let's
enter
go.
Bo Nix.
Throw Bo Nix in there.
Yeah, hey, why not? What the hell?
Dude, the average age of that quarterback room has got to be like 24. Bo Nix might be the oldest one.
He probably is.
We brought some maturity in for you guys.
We brought in a vet for you guys.
Teach him.
But my question off this mic is, why is it? I mean, we just went through our. Here's what we think. We're a bunch of football experts. We're going to go, and here's where the quarterbacks are going to go. Why is it so hard to identify whether a quarterback is going to be Pro Bowl caliber versus a complete unplayable bust like Zach Wilson? And I'm going to bring you guys two different draft years, 2017 and 18, as great examples. So 2017. Mitch Trubisky was drafted 8 slots before Patrick Mahomes, and then Deshaun Watson, who was for the first few years before he got all massage happy.
Handsy.
Clearly better than Mitch Trubisky, right?
Oh,
and then the next year, here's the order of the first 6 quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield 1, Sam Darnold 3, Josh Allen 7th, Josh Rosen went 10th, and then Lamar Jackson went 32nd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, how is it that a Josh Rosen, or is it there's a lot of desperate franchises that draft a quarterback hoping to be saved, and they don't have the right infrastructure, and then that guy is just screwed because the Jets, you know? Like, why are we so bad at this after decades and decades is my question.
It's because it's kind of like I was saying about the Patriots and why everyone's like, well, you have to draft a quarterback. Yes, it's a quarterback league, and yes, you can't win in this league unless you have a dude back there as a trigger man. But the NFL on the offensive side is so much more than just the trigger man at times. Like, if you don't have weapons for him, I don't care how good he is, right? And I'm taking Mahomes out of this, right? He's like, he's the GOAT right now. He's the greatest. And, like, you could give him like Tom Brady did for so many years. It didn't matter. But when you're talking about true rookie to second-year quarterbacks, if you don't give them options and you don't give them weapons, they're not going to succeed.
Yeah.
It's just too hard. And also, I think a lot of it is if you're picking 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, your team's terrible. So that probably means your coaching staff's on its last legs. And so now you're going to get a guy in there that's going to be your guy, and then 2 years it doesn't work, and then you're bringing in a whole new system, a whole new staff. Guys are leaving in free agency because they don't want to be there anymore. It's hard to get top-notch talent. And now the guy's standing there going, I have nothing to do, and like I'm a talented player, but I can't do anything if I'm on my back all the time, or if my receivers aren't running the right routes, or guys aren't open. Like, it's such an imperfect science, but that's why I'm a fan. If you don't have the infrastructure laid for a young rookie quarterback to come in, don't bring one in. Don't bring one in. He's not going to have the success that you think he's going to have.
I would agree 100% with that. And two, just because the level of play is so different. The terminology is a lot. Understanding defense is a lot. And you're asking guys to go out that have barely seen this. And then you're like, hey, you're running the whole show. Like, that's a lot to throw at them. And then you're like, hey, you got to hit this route at this time. And, oh, hey, by the way, the tackle's going to give up a little pressure and you got to move. Like, all these things get thrown at them. And then, like Jay said, and I will say this. I think they're getting better. And Houston, in my opinion, is one of those examples. Like, they came in and they were like, hey, we got a new staff. We're going to go all in. And at the same time, they developed those guys. They went out and they took care of business. They put playmakers around him. They have a great offensive line, a great defense. Like, some of these guys get it. And at the same time, I think some teams don't. They just keep making the same errors and they keep running the same offenses that don't work. And all of a sudden you're like, dude, what the hell? I'll blame the quarterback. Blame the quarterback. Or, like, dude, it's not always the quarterback's fault. I'm not saying that all those guys were bust, but they were put in some shitty situations that time and they weren't given a lot of help. And at the same time, people are like, do something. And you're like, what can this guy do? He can't do everything. He can only throw the ball. He can't run the route. He can't block the defenders. Like, he can't do all these things. But I will say there are times. And maybe Jay and I see it a lot easier because we've been in these rooms. But you see the teams that are desperate for a quarterback and make a drastic move, and you're like, what the fuck was that about? Like, whoa, slow, buddy. I don't think he was going that high anyways. Like, calm your – and then 4 years later, so-and-so's been traded, and now he's a backup. Or 4 years later, he's cut and he's out of the league. And you're like, that team was desperate at the time, and they had no good coaching around that guy. They had nothing to help him or protect him or save him. You see it. You feel bad for him, but that's the league.
You also have to have a plan, right? Like, think about Josh Allen with Buffalo, right? Hey, we're going to take Josh Allen. We know our roster is not where it needs to be. We know we're paying LeSean McCoy way too much money right now. We know that Kyle Williams is on his way out as a retiring guy. Like, we're old, but we want to get younger. So the plan is to draft Josh this year, be who we are, right? We're going to be 6-10, but then we're going to go get a Stephon Diggs. Right, we're going to go find weapons for him. We're going to draft offensive talent. We have a left tackle that we hit on that's now a Pro Bowler player. Right, like the plan has to be set and forth of, hey, we know we're not going to win right now, but we think we can win in 3-4 years. Versus sometimes I feel like these teams will look at it and be like, we just need to draft him and we're going to win games. Right, like there's no forecasting of the final vision. Right, like and that's one thing I commend Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean on is they had a vision of, hey, through Josh's rookie contract, here's the steps we're going to take to put us in our Super Bowl window. And they did it, right? And so many other teams, because A, the quarterback gets rattled as a rookie and he's never the same, right? Or whatever it may be, don't have that long-term vision and then it blows up in your face.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's like just going back to these two examples, I think it really comes down to, let's look at 2017. Are you desperately trying to find a quarterback that can save your shitty situation? Kind of like Boone was saying, oh boy, that's a stretch. Now, Trubisky was talented in college, but the Bears are just perpetually looking for a quarterback to save their crappy offense decade after decade. The Chiefs, 8 picks later, said, well, actually, the Chiefs moved up 17 picks to get to the 10th pick. They were an 11-win team, playoffs almost every year for the better part of a couple decades. Andy Reid, they got Alex Smith as a good professional, steady quarterback. We don't need Patrick Mahomes to save our garbage franchise, but super talented. Let's bring him in. Doesn't even have to play for a year. He can just sit down. And you got Travis Kelce. You got Tyreek Hill. You got weapons all over the place. Same thing for the 2018 draft. Sam Darnold, classic example, dude. Like, It's amazing when you dig on just how bad that Jet situation was. So he gets drafted rookie year. Todd Bowles is his head coach.
Yep.
Who's found a way to win some games in Tampa now. But like, first time coach, defensive minded guy. So the offensive coordinator is going to be integral to developing Sam Darnold, right? The offensive coordinator's name is Jeremy Bates. He was fired immediately after that season at age 41. So a young offensive coordinator. He's been out of football entirely since that season. Okay. Whew. So Woo! We're firing Todd Bowles. Firing off guard. Year number two. Let's try this again. Okay. Head coach Adam Gase, who got fired a short while later, has been out of the NFL since that firing. And then the offensive coordinator was a guy named Dwell Logans, who's been out of the NFL since that job, became the tight ends coach at Arkansas afterwards. Like, and by the way, yeah. Sam Darnold's number one weapon the first 2 years in terms of targets was a guy named Robbie Chosen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember that.
So what, in an alternate universe, if he gets drafted by a different franchise, by Andy Reid and the Chiefs or something, right? Or does Sam Darnold become a top eight quarterback in the NFL? Or was it just a garbage franchise
It's the exact same argument you can have of Bryce Young, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
it's
a great
the exact point. Same argument.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Bryce Young got taken ahead of CJ Stroud. And that's why everyone this year was like, oh, Raven or Panthers should have taken Stroud. Stroud has equally, if not even a worse year than Bryce Young had, because hey, we're gonna take this quarterback. We've fired all of our guys. We fired everyone twice now. We don't know who his number one receiver is. We traded him away. We traded the best running back in the country or in the world. We traded him away. We have a left tackle we drafted that's a rookie going into his second year. We have one really solid right tackle. We have an undrafted free agent or a fourth round pick, starting at left guard as a rookie. And hey, go win us some football games.
And guess what people say, dude?
Work like that.
And people say, "Oh, Bryce Young's garbage or Sam Darnold's garbage." It's like, well,
doesn't work like that.
Okay,
we agree 100%.
It's a cooking show, and the three of us get to go on. It's Top Chef, and the ingredients you guys get are some Wagyu beef, some asparagus, some hot, like all the, and they give me like a 9-iron and some ice cubes.
Yeah, a can of spam.
Literally,
like go cook a meal.
Dude, remember when they fired the coaches and everyone was tweeting at the team and the coaches are like, we've been fired. What are you yelling at us for? Like, we're not even here anymore. And everybody was like, wow, they really did. Like, imagine being Bryce Young going in and being like, yeah, all these guys are fired. We're going to make that guy's in charge now. You, come here. What's your name? Tell everybody your name. Here we go. Like, that's how they do it. And then everyone's like, I kind of deal with this at football sometimes with the boys and even at baseball now. And people are like, well, Bryce Young's shit. And you're like, you're an idiot. You're 12 and you have no idea what you're talking about. That poor kid got hit every which fucking way. What do you know? Could you make that throw? Could you think you could stand under that pressure and make that throw? No, shut up. Don't ever say that again. Like,
no one's
they just
open.
Don't get it. They don't understand. Like, I've been in rooms where the offense gets talked about and you're like, this is fucking stupid. There's zero chance anyone's going to understand this. And you want this young kid to do – you want this kid to go out here and do that. This is we're fucked. There's no way we're going to make it out of this one alive. Sometimes they're just putting these kids in impossible situations instead of doing what Houston did and said, hey, we're going to rely on our run game. We're going to max protect as much as we can. We're going to tell our offensive line, if you fuck up, we're going to pull you out. Like, you have to keep guys like that super secure, especially like Jay said, you only get one chance to go in the league. And if you mess it up right away, dude, the haunting that goes through these guys' mind is ridiculous because the windows close so fast and all of a sudden you're going to get hit. And all of a sudden it's like, dude, if you can't do it right, people are yelling at you.
You get rattled.
I'm yelling at you. Jay's yelling at you. Everyone's like, dude, what are we doing? Let's go. And they're like, oh, man, this is just whoa. And you're like, shut up, stop thinking, and let's just go. Like, we've had rookies come in the game and play with us, and it's like, this is going to be a mess. You just call the play.
To be a rookie.
Like, we'll do everything else.
Like,
yeah.
Even the backups. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. There's probably 20 true starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? Then there's 12 guys that are serviceable. We're like 20 true guys that are like, you're the one of the top 20 in the world that do this. And to ask a rookie to come in and step into that 20 realm is so hard and so rare, right? Even Anthony Richardson, like, yeah, first few games, we're like, this is awesome. But I remember I think on the show, we're like, he's going to get hurt.
Oh, yeah, we told him slide. Like, slide, dude.
You can't run over these dudes in this league. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. It doesn't live in that world. And, he's going to get dinged. And then Will Levis, I mean, even go back to who was the guy that Tennessee drafted 2 years ago?
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Right? Like, out of Liberty, right? Sometimes just don't work. Like, it's just the circumstance. Sometimes maybe their skill set's completely tapped out in college and you think they have some more in there and they can't because when you start throwing more on their plate, then the skill level goes down. Like, there is no perfect science to picking a quarterback. There really isn't. But I'd say 80% of it is their skill set. That other 20% of it is the situation in which they come in. And that 20% can spiral out of control extremely quickly.
Yeah. Agreed.
So... yeah, man. Too bad. So Sam Darnold, I guess. Sorry that that happened to you, but maybe you can still...
come back year. Come back.
It could be a Baker Mayfield year for him.
Come back year for Sam Darnold.
He's in Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, yeah.
Dude, if you can't make it work, like if you can't make it with Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hawk when he comes back healthy...
What are you talking about? Like, he's going to be behind JJ. He's not even with the draft.
Stop. I will plant the flag. I will plant the flag right now, staking a beer. Sam Darnold's the week one starter for the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, I agree. Week one.
Oh, really?
I'm with Jay.
Oh, week I'm one. Staking a beer all the way. Let's
you don't
go.
Think so?
Tell
you think the rookie,
call Manny's.
You think the rookie's gonna start?
Oh, I'm taking rookie all the way.
You with me, Mac?
I just warned you. Time out. I just warned you. If you have flag weapons planted. And you have an O line.
Black
Watch
planted.
Out,
Flag
because sometimes
in
those
fact,
young
wait,
kids will scare you.
I'll stake in a beer. I'll one-up you. Stake in a beer, okay? Sam Darnold has a career-high passer rating, regardless of how many games he plays. It could
ding
be
him for
games,
being an idiot.
Could be
that's a stupid fucking rookie fine. That's a stupid fucking rookie fine.
I agree with you, Mac. I agree with you. I'm with you, Mac. I'm with you.
All right, here
I think,
we go. I got
think
two dinners coming.
Jefferson. I think Darnold has a career year.
In Listen, fact, I heard about you, this new you, place downtown called Porzana. I want one of those dinners is going to be there, and I'm not sure where the other one's going to be. But I've heard Porzana's amazing.
Argentinian steak.
Mm. I'm in.
You haven't lived.
Say one word. Steak. Say less. Right? Steak. I'm there.
Steak.
Yeah. Week one, baby. Saying it. Sam Darnold starting for the Vikings.
Okay.
Boys, it's time for some dumb football questions here on the podcast. We also, after dumb football questions, we are going to record a second episode for you this week. So you're going to have... the delight of two different O-Line Committee podcast episodes here. So in addition to supporting our friends at aura.com/O-Line Committee, if you could also click the like button and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel here, you can help us climb our way to 20,000 subs. We didn't think we were going to get to 20,000 in the first year, and so we're hoping to get there. So thank you guys, and go tell a few of your football-loving friends that the O-Line Committee is a thing that exists.